June 29th, 2018 was an extremely sad day in the Creasy household. And you're probably thinking, that date just doesn't ring a bell with me. What was the national event that was so sad? That was the day the last of the Toys R Us stores closed in America, including the ones in Charlottesville, Richmond, and Lynchburg. And those were our stores. Toys R Us began as a single DC-based store that sold cribs and strollers back in 1948. The store eventually became a massive big box chain and a symbol of American retail. At its height, the company expanded into 1,600 stores worldwide. And just so you know, we, as the Creasy family, loved the toy store. As a matter of fact, when we had to make an excuse or had a reason to go to Charlottesville, Lynchburg, or Richmond, you could count that before we left that city, we would be at the toy store. And the funny thing is, this wasn't because we had kids. We did this before we had kids. As a matter of fact, one Christmas, my wife and I were looking at our Christmas list, and you know what we decided? We're going to shop for everybody at the toy store this year. So we went to Toys R Us, and we literally spent all day long walking around Toys R Us picking out toys for our parents and my sisters and their kids. And yeah, we even got a few things for ourselves while we're there, too. I mean, you got to do that, right? The toy store was very important for us. And, you know, as the toy store began to close, so went with it that very familiar Toys R Us jingle. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. By the way, if you love your trivia, the kid on the swing at the end, the one that more toys, more games on swinging, you may know him, but you would know him better as Jaleel White. Or maybe you know even better as this guy called Steve Urkel. That's where he got his acting start. It was right there on the Toys R Us commercial. So if you get nothing else out of the sermon today, you know exactly where J.O. got his acting career started. But this isn't going to be about Toys R Us. This is going to be about this thing called 40 Days of Prayer. We decided as a leadership group that we were going to spend 2019 emphasizing the concept of prayer in our church. So far, we've done a sermon series on it. We brought back the fifth Sunday praise. We brought back the time of prayer that we have here before our church service starts on Sunday, or any of our things start on Sunday morning. We did a city pray where we actually got together. We went out to the locations in the church and in the city, and we prayed for our city. And still to come, we're going to do See You at the Poll, and there is going to be a city pray too on the weekend before homecoming. On that Saturday, we're going to get together again and go out to the city and pray for our city. And well, then there's also this sermon series. Now, I call it the sermon series, but this is really more of a 40 days of prayer campaign. And that means this is much more than a sermon series. This is also going to be the idea of we're going to introduce the topic for the week in the sermon. So that means if you're actually going to try to take detailed notes, you better be a very fast writer or willing to go back and watch the video a few times over on YouTube, because guess what? This is the introduction to the week. If this is the only interaction you have with this, then you better be a very fast writer, because some of these topics, we're going to be moving quick, because the idea is that you think I'm quicker than you usually do. You'll be able to, I promise, I'm not going to be speaking in tongues, okay? We're going to go at a good pace, but we're introducing the topic. The topic is then going to be expanded by, if you manage to get your hands on one of these, this is the daily prayer journal that goes with this. By the way, this is the last unclaimed one I have. I have two over here that have names on them, so if you want them, please pick them up today, or I promise you they may be gone after today. Somebody else may get dibs on them. But I have two over here, and I have one more that is unclaimed. If you didn't get to order one and you still want one, I have one more left. But that is your daily devotion. This is where you can daily walk through the topic that goes with this. Then on Wednesdays, both in the morning and the evening, we're going to be doing the same lesson twice. So you don't have to come twice, but you may wish to pick up one of those Wednesday classes that are again going to build on the topic that we introduce here in the 40 Days of Prayer sermon. And so where are we going to start? Well, we're going to start out, if I am going to have a growing prayer relationship, I must grow up spiritually. Now you're thinking, oh, now I see where this whole idea of this Toys R Us kid thing comes in. See, the truth is we need to begin to ask the question, do I really want to grow up? I mean, most of us get pretty comfortable where we are. We get to a point in our spiritual life and we think we've got everything figured out, and we're in here and we attend regularly, and maybe we even get into a Bible study, and maybe we even get into a ministry. And then eventually we just get comfortable. And unfortunately, when you get comfortable, you stop growing up. You begin to get stagnant. And you begin to struggle with the idea of what it means to grow up. So if we're going to grow spiritually, we are going to have to grow up. And here's the other thing that you need to know. Most of the problems in your spiritual life stem from this idea of immaturity. Now, I say that word, and we know what immaturity means. But from a spiritual standpoint, it means decisions based on feeling, not on God's word. That's the indication that you're spiritually immature, is that when you begin to make decisions in your life, you begin to make it on your gut feeling, on the things around you. You don't begin with the idea of asking God to be involved. As a matter of fact, spiritually immature people usually end up asking God to clean up the mess afterwards, not asking God to get involved beginning. Spiritual growth is God's will. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Then they will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by every cunning and craftiness of people and in their deceitful ways. And this is an important idea because this is God's will. And sometimes we think, you know, we saw that video at the beginning. I heard everybody, "Aw, aren't the little babies cute? Aren't they adorable? Their cheeks are so pudgy. You just want to squeeze them." And even when they get the little pout, we love the little baby pout. But spiritual infants, they aren't cute. They're tragic. The idea that I'm going to remain a Toys R Us infant in my spiritual life, I'm just going to remain this little kid, it's not cute. It's tragic. See, when I'm this kind of a spiritual person, then I always have to have somebody do for me. Think about a child, an infant. They want everything done for them. Change me. Feed me, hold me, rock me, walk me, take care of me, pay attention to me. And if you don't, what am I going to do? I'm going to cry. I'm going to make a whole bunch of noise, and I'm going to make sure that you can't sleep and you don't get to finish your meal, and nothing that you have is going to work unless you pay attention to me. You know what? Spiritually, we can get caught in that same point. Teach me. Sing to me. Serve me. Feed me. Take care of me. See, this idea of being a spiritually immature infant or a Toys R Us spiritual person, you have to understand it's never going to be cute. You have to eventually learn to do for yourself. These spiritually immature people, it says that they are unsettled. I love the way this verse puts it. It says they're tossed and blown. You know what that he's picturing, right? You get the boat that's out there on the choppy waters and the sea is raging and you're just going, and the boat doesn't have any direction of its own. What direction does the boat take? Depends on which way the wind is blowing. Depends on which way the sea is going. Depends on how things are going. The boat will just go around and around and around and around based on what's going on. And when you're spiritually immature, you know what? That's kind of how you live your spiritual life. Whatever the wind is blowing, that's kind of what I do. I don't grab hold of the wheel, and I'm not committed to steer the boat. I'm just going to see if I can survive the storm. Because it's got to get better with the next time, right? It says they are easily deceived, spiritually gullible. I mean, if they hear it and somebody can attach a Bible verse to it, they'll believe it. If they hear it and it sounds good and it sounds godly, we'll put some stock into it. We are easily swayed by the things that we hear in our life, and we're easily moved from here to there. And so this idea of spiritual immaturity, again, it's not cute. It's sad. It's sad when people grow up and they grow up physically, but spiritually they just stayed an infant or maybe a child. And they never grow any further, and they're tossed here and there, and then they wonder, why is my prayer life not working? Well, it's really simple. If we're going to become mature and have a mature prayer life, we, as a church, are simply going to have to grow up. And you know what? Growing up is hard. Growing up is difficult. And the good news is we can answer this question. how to grow up. How is it that I am supposed to grow up? And so I'm going to give you six ways over that over this week. I want you to consider how you can take these six ways and you can begin to grow up in your spiritual life. So six ways specifically. Number one, going off, we grow up when we feed on God's word. I thought about this a lot. And when I was a kid and growing up in the church I grew up in, they were constantly pounding us with the Bible. Not literally, okay, maybe sometimes they pounded us with it, but I'm talking about we had things where they encouraged us to memorize scripture. They had things where they encouraged us to read. They were constantly Bible, 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 Bible. Why? Well, there's a good reason. Because in case you missed it or you haven't figured it out yet, prayer is more than just telling God your wishes and wants. Prayer is a conversation with God. Man, that's what prayer is. And here's what you also need to remember. A conversation is a two-way street. Have you ever been talking to somebody where you can't get a word in edgewise? I know my kids are going to say, yeah, that's my dad. When he's on one of his rants, I may as well just sit down there and listen because I'm not going to be able to say anything. But if you're never able to have a conversation, if you're just always sitting there listening and they just keep going and they keep going and they keep going and they keep going and they keep asking, they keep talking, about after, believe it or not, after about 4.5 minutes of that, your brain tunes out. You didn't hear a word they said. See, the idea of a conversation is you say a little bit, I say a little bit. You say a little bit, I say a little bit. It works the same way with God. This idea of prayer is not that I'm going to sit down here and just spout out to God the things that I want. I'm supposed to be having a conversation with God, which means I talk, but I also listen. Matthew chapter 4:4 says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not be live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I am supposed to be listening if this prayer thing is supposed to be working. And I sort of wonder if the reason that we are not successful in our prayer life is because we spend a whole lot of time talking and not a whole lot of time listening. Not a whole lot of time allowing God's word to speak to us. Because listening is about consuming God's word. Acts chapter 20 verse 32 says, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace in which you can build up, there is the grow aspect, and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This idea of growing up God's way is growing up listening to God's word. As a matter of fact, to have an effective prayer life, we must, notice that word, must hear God's word. We must read God's word. We must study God's word. We must memorize God's word. We must meditate on God's word. And we must apply God's word. This is the cornerstone. If I don't have this, you are wasting your time going anywhere else trying to grow spiritually. If you do not have a love for understanding what God has to say for your life, you know what? You're never going to grow up. Imagine trying to grow up when you're only going to eat once a week. That wouldn't work very well. I have teenagers in my house. They only eat once a day. They start when they get up and they end when they go to bed. I mean, they eat constantly. Kids eat enormous amounts of food because they're growing. Unfortunately, when we become adults, we continue to eat enormous amounts of food. We also continue growing. We're just now not growing up. We're growing out. Okay, that's kind of the way it works when you get to an adult. But you understand this idea that we have to be able to have something with God's word in our life if we are going to have a successful prayer life. We miss that. We grow up when we learn in different ways. I don't like different. Just give it to me the same way, you know, just give it to me the same way you've always given it to me. Don't change anything. You know, learning a different way, God loves diversity. Don't believe me? Take a moment and look around. There are no two people here that are alike. Everybody's different. I mean, even if you somewhat look the same, we have different fingerprints, we have different eye retinas, we have different things about us, we even have different learning styles. Did you know Jesus taught in many different styles? He never settled on one. I think that's what made him so intriguing, because he began to change up everything. You never could get comfortable with what you were going to listen from Jesus, because you never knew what he was going to do next. Jesus was a very engaging teacher, and he taught by listening. There were times, like at the woman at the well, Jesus just sat there and let them ramble. They just sat there and let them teach themselves. He just sat back and said, okay, tell me about your life. And then he just kind of sat there, and they began to learn by talking. Jesus taught by watching and reading. Think about the widow with the two mites. He just sat there watching the people as they gave their offering. He just sat there watching and looking, and he taught that way. Jesus taught by talking. There are sermons and stories and things that Jesus told. Jesus taught by doing, by putting into practice the things that he had to do, the things that he was teaching. Now, I will tell you, you have a natural way of learning. Mine is auditorial. Ask my family. My brain is like a tape recorder. I can remember conversations almost word for word that I had years ago. It drives my family crazy. It isn't until we had kids and we have another one that's just like me. And he can remember things that you said over and over and over again. So mine is auditory. And you know what? That worked really good for me in high school. Then I went to college and I flamed out. You know why? Because auditory was the only learning skill I had. And the instructor wasn't going to stand up there in college and give me all the information that I wanted so I could just regurgitate it to him on a test. No, he wanted me to go home and read the book and do proofs and do all this other stuff. And I was unable to do that, and I didn't do so well the first time I went away to college. I had to gain all of these other skills. And if we're going to grow up, we're going to have to gain these. Not that they'll be your preferred method, but you're going to have to learn how to learn in all of these different areas. Learn how to grow up that way. Job chapter 33, Job 33, 14 says, for God does speak now one way, not another. Now another. Though no one perceives it. So this idea that God will always tell you things the way that he's always told them, sometimes he's forcing you to grow up. He's not going to give you the answer the way that you wanted it. He's going to give you the answer the way that you have to begin to look for it. Because you know what? When we begin to look, that's when we begin to grow. We grow up when we develop spiritual habits. Now, I know what you're about to tell me, Barry. I got lots of old habits, and old habits die hard. Granted, I didn't say this was going to be easy, but notice in that statement, old habits die hard, old habits are not immortal. They can be killed. You just have to be willing to do it. You just have to be willing to take the discipline to do it. Now, why is this important? Because your character is the sum of your habits. Think about that. Who you are is the sum of the things that you do. Is that not true? Most of us are identified either by a job title or by a relationship or by a last name or even the name that your parents gave you. There are things that are just habitually done, and we begin to identify with that. So that means you can't say you have the quality of kindness unless you're habitually kind. Now, that doesn't mean that you just are kind one time or kind one time a week. Okay? It has to be a habit of being kind if you're going to say you are kind. So that means if we are going to actually have a prayer life, I have to develop the habit of praying. Oh, okay, that's a habit. That's something that I have to develop every single day in my life. And you know what? Habit begins with this idea of devotion. Acts chapter 2:42, that kind of foundation of the church, it says they devoted themselves is how it started out. And we know what devoted is, because devoted is where we usually have a love affair, right? You know, they became so in love with the relationship that they were going to have with Jesus that they began to give all of their time and their talents and their resources. It all came with them because they were all in, they were committed to this idea, I am devoted to the relationship. It became a habit. It began to grow in their life. We have the saying in our society, practice makes perfect. John chapter 13, verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Hebrews chapter 5, 14. But if solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Notice the word constant there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Everyone who competes, notice the word everyone, who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. You get the idea here? I have to be willing to actually do it if it's going to mean anything to my life. I have to be willing to grow up. You can learn to pray. You cannot learn to pray unless you actually pray. I've been saying that phrase since the beginning of the year. You're going to probably hear it 100 more times before this year is over. And it might just become part of the lingo that you do. You cannot do it. You cannot say we are emphasizing on a prayer if that just means I just get to write more prayer requests on a card. You can't do it. That's not emphasizing on prayer. If we are not willing to pray, we are not emphasizing our life on prayer. I want you to notice in your bulletin that coincidentally or non-coincidentally, that right in the middle of this prayer sermon series, we're going to actually give you chances to pray. See you at the poll. City Pray. Here on Sunday mornings. This Sunday, we're going to have a prayer time. We're going to take our Sunday school time and devote it to praying for the health of our church. See, I'm going to give you the opportunities to pray, but you know what's the one thing I can't do? I cannot come around to your houses with a roll of duct tape and strap you up and throw you in the back of my truck and drag you here and set you in the pew and say, now you shall pray. It doesn't work that way. See, it only works if you're willing to come and grow up and participate in this idea of prayer. We grow up when we help each other grow. Now, this is kind of a hard one because you know what? I don't know that I really like being around all that many people. I like to keep my little group small. But you need to remember, spiritual growth is relational. We are better together. It's one of those old science experiments. You know the popsicle stick training, right? Where you have one popsicle stick. Anybody can train, can break the one popsicle stick. If I take 100 popsicle sticks and I lash them together, they are unbreakable by a human. Because each time the little popsicle sticks become together, they get stronger and stronger because they are drawing strength from one another. It's an old science experiment. It's why you can build bridges out of popsicle sticks that can take hundreds of pounds because you can lash these sticks together. They're better together. God said it is not good for man to be alone. You were not designed to do this spiritual relationship by yourself. And if you think you can, you are fooling yourself. Because you know what? You'll fail. Satan will find your weakness. He will exploit that weakness, and he will keep coming at it over and over and over again. The strength of the church and the strength of the body and the strength of your Christian brothers and sisters is not that we can get together and just have a good time. We can cover one another's weaknesses, because where I'm weak, you might be strong. Where you're strong might be my weakness. And together, we become complete. Jesus was God. And he still engaged others to help. Next time you think you have to do it all by yourself or you can't ask anybody to help you do anything, just remember that. Jesus was God. He could walk on the water. He could turn loaves and bread, and he could feed the multitudes. He could heal the sick, but he still couldn't do it by himself. What's the first thing Jesus did in his ministry? Find 12 others to pour himself into. And then he got them, and when those 12 began to move out, what's the next thing they began to do? When they started the church, they found others to say, you know what, we can't do this by ourselves. See, when you grow up, you begin to engage other people. That is, that you and I may become spiritually mature, encouraged by each other's faith. According to Romans chapter 1, verse 12, the entire purpose of growing together and growing up together is the fact that, you know what? We can encourage one another. Because odds are, when I'm having a bad day, maybe you're not. And we can begin to encourage one another in what we're doing. Now, I know what you're going to say. I don't work well with others. Me either. I don't. Leave me to myself. I can do a lot of things by myself. To that, I tell you, grow up. We're just going to have to learn how to do it. We're going to have to learn how to work well with others in the congregation, if we're going to grow up and if we're going to have an exceptional prayer life. Praying by yourself is good, it's fine, but you know what? Jesus says, where one or two are gathered, I am in their presence. Where two or more are gathered, I am in their presence. This whole idea that we are supposed to be doing this together. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more until you see the day approaching." This idea that we are supposed to be a group that, you know what, when I see you lagging, I'm supposed to slow down, not to give you a lecture on why can't you run faster, why am I slowing down? To help you to get back into the cadence. You see, we're supposed to care for one another's lives so much that when you're struggling, I should be willing to help. I should be willing to come along beside you. I should be running the race with you. This is not my race. I'm not running this race for me. I am running this race for us. Because our goal is that we all cross the finish line. We are better together. And if we're going to grow up, we're going to have to learn how to grow up together. Serving side by side. Working side by side, fellowshipping side by side, crying side by side, learning side by side is how the church was designed to work. And it's the only way it'll work. You grow up when we expect to grow up. For those who have little kids, I have good news for you. Your kids are going to grow whether you want them to or not. As a matter of fact, if you have a kid that does not grow, we usually call that a disease, right? I mean, they're going to grow up whether you want them to or not. You can put a brick on their head so they don't go any taller. You can lock them in the closet to try to keep them safe. You know, all those things we threaten to do to our kids, but you know what? They're going to grow up anyway. I don't care what they say. They can't stay little till their carters wear out. They're going to all grow up. You know why? Because growing up is a natural thing. Think about it. If your child, if you had a child and they were 2 years old, but yet they still look like a baby, would you not be concerned? You'd be taking them to the doctor. You'd be trying to have people figure out what's wrong. Why is this child not growing up? If they stop growing when they're like 5 years old, if they stop growing when they're two, that's when you send them somewhere else. Terrible twos, okay? But if they're like five or six, yeah, they're adorable. They're cute. They can walk by themselves. They can sometimes even tie their shoes. Maybe they know their colors. But we don't want to leave them there, do we? That would be tragic, right? We'd be concerned if that's where they stayed. Because you get the idea, it's a natural thing. Immaturity leads to death. Just let that wrap around you. If I stay immature, then eventually it will lead me to a path that's going to destroy my life. Not only spiritually, but you can apply that one physically. You know what? You can jump off a bus when you're 12 years old and you might survive it. If I did it at 50... I kill myself. Seriously, my body doesn't bounce the way it used to. I mean, I can't do the things that I did when I was a kid. I have to learn how to grow up. If we expect that we can just stay in the same place, all we are really saying is we're ready to die. I don't want to grow up. I'm happy with the way things are. I'm just going to sit here and I'm never... All you're saying is, you know what? I'm just ready to die. I quit. I can't go any further. You see, this idea of growing up, while some growth just happens, we grow up when we commit to grow up. Now, this is where it gets a little hard. Because most growth is not automatic. It's intentional. You leave a child alone, they'll grow up physically, and they'll get bigger, and they'll maybe get stronger, but for the maturity that really happened in their personality. Does that ever happen just to happen? No. If I'm going to get emotionally mature, that usually takes somebody else coming into my life and coming into my life and leaning on me a little bit, and I have to commit myself to become emotionally mature, correct? I mean, you ever met the person who's never received any kind of guidance and they grow up and parents gave them everything when they were kids and never told them no, and then they were a little bit on the spoil side and they get to their adults and what do they expect? The world's going to give me everything I want and take care of me and they're a little bit on the spoil side. See, this idea that I'm going to all of a sudden become this great, big, spiritually or emotionally person without committing to grow up, it's not going to happen. You must choose to grow. It's a choice. Now, I'm hoping right now when I say that word choice, your mind is going back 4 weeks because we just went through those four big decision choices that you have to make. I told you, those are foundational pieces. You need to take those choices with you. Now, when you're talking about making the choices, you have to decide that I'm going to choose purpose over popularity. I have to choose to be disciplined over neglectful. I have to choose to look at the important instead of the urgent. I have to choose to surrender rather than control. See, I told you it was going to come back to haunt you. See, these choices, if we're going to grow, we have to choose them. Maybe we need to begin to ask ourselves these questions. How badly do you want to grow? I don't know. A scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 3 or a 4. Yeah, we'd like to have a few more people sitting in the seats, but I don't know. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about you. How badly do you want this? How badly do you want to see your prayer life reach new heights? How badly do you want your spiritual life to be something more than what it is? Do you really want to grow up? A lot of us, the answer would be no. You know what? I'm perfectly content. I got all I want. You just want to be a spiritual baby. I played that little video at the beginning, and everybody was laughing at the little babies. Did you pay attention to the words of the songs? The spiritual tummy, it can't take too much. The daily devotion is stuck in a butt rut. He knows the books of the Bible in John 3:16. Got the biggest King James you've ever seen. I've got all the looks and the appearance and the looking at what it means to be a Christian. But you know what? I got nothing. I love what the song called them. They're just a fat little baby. They want their bottle, and they don't mean maybe. They sample all the food once or twice, but this idea of spiritual growth and doctrine, man, that's cold as ice. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in growing. I just want to be right where I am. Here's the question, and the big question. What are you willing to do? If you want this, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to get up early on Sunday morning and meet us here to pray? Are you willing to go stand in that park around a flagpole and pray for students? Are you willing to come here and spend an hour praying for our body on the fifth Sunday? Are you willing to come here on a Saturday and go place to place in the city and stand in parking lots and pray for our city? Are you willing to do that? I don't know about that. When the prayer thing was just about me praying for sick people, that's all good. But this is a little much. Here's what you need to realize, though. God cannot use any Toys R Us kids. Now, does that mean you can't like toys and then follow God? If it is, I'm in trouble because I still love toys. When I say God can't use any Toys R Us kids, God can't use anybody that's not willing to grow. He can use you to a point, but once you stop growing, there's really nothing else he can do with you. Once you become the one-trick pony and this one little piece of tool, if that situation comes up, maybe he can sometimes stick you into that spot, but you got to realize God wants us to grow. And he can't use anybody that's not willing to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the wild ways of childhood. I put the ways of childhood behind me." Now, physically speaking, that's happened. I can't fit in any of my kids' clothes. I can't. If I went back and pulled them out the drawer, I couldn't even fit my big toe in some of the things that I wore when I was a kid. Physically, I've grown up. Emotionally, I'm not the same person. If you had met me in my teenage years, you think I'm crazy now. You should have met Barry the teenager. I mean, people literally thought he might be insane. I mean, really, but I grew up. Emotionally, I matured. Spiritually, I think I've grown up. I've got a lot more growing to do, but I'm in the process of growing up, and I'm willing to grow up. But you do see what Paul tells us here in Corinthians. I have to change the way I talk if I'm going to grow up. I have to change the way I think if I'm going to grow up. I have to change the way that I reason my life out. I have to be willing to do these things if I'm going to grow up. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." See, this idea of the 40 days of prayer, it's all about growing up. It's all about pressing you and pushing you and poking you and prodding you to answer this question. Are you ready to grow up? If we came into this series and this campaign and we thought, well, at the end of this, I'm going to have some little nice little neat pattern that I can use to try to pray in my life, and I'm going to let you down. I mean, yeah, there are some really cool sermons that I did not write. This was a purchased sermon series, so therefore, if this offends you, I didn't write it. You can go blame it on the guy that wrote the sermon. But I did not write this myself, but you do understand these principles are timeless. The question is, are you ready to do something about it? Or are you just a Toys R Us Christian? I'm content with the way things are, and you know what? I don't want to grow up because there are all these other things that I want to do with my life, and this Jesus thing, it just ain't there for me yet.